you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's clear.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
Reading from Psalms 40, verses 1, 2, and 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and trust in the Lord. That was Psalms 40, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, October 17th, 2023. And I have Pastor Steve Weiss seated. If you were tuned in yesterday, it was a God-honoring testimony, sharing time about the reality that there is a hell. And if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at wluj.org, also at greatnewsradio.org. But God was doing a work in my heart and hopefully in all of your hearts if you were tuned in about the importance of knowing this holy, sovereign, righteous God isn't to be trifled with. He is holy. He is sovereign. He desires all of us to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way we can have a relationship with him because of his shed blood, what Jesus did on our behalf at the cross. And it was a reality. He suffered for sinners, and we are all sinners. We are all destined to hell unless we ask Jesus into our heart, recognizing him as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, our Savior. And so yesterday's broadcast, Pastor Steve, it was, I won't say monumental, but I am saying monumental. It was one of the unique broadcasts where God used you to convey a message that's not often heard. And I appreciate your transparency, your passion, how the Holy Spirit spoke through you. In fact, it was nice having Mark Klotfeller in the studio because you said you like to preach before people, and if it was only just me, maybe wouldn't deliver it the same way. But I just appreciate what you said and shared and the importance of us all coming into that relationship with God the Father. But we didn't get to share much of your life story and testimony, so I wanted to have you back for Testimony Tuesday so you could walk us through how God brought you to the point where you currently serve as the pastor at Heritage Free Will Baptist Church here in Springfield. But I want you to spend some time taking us through your faith journey, because it wasn't easy early on, and following Jesus doesn't mean that everything goes perfect, that your life is free of pain or suffering or heartache, that we have a companion, yes, and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we have that favor with God, but that doesn't mean life is always easy. So how about introducing us to some of your faith journey? And you briefly highlighted your beloved Georgia, how God has used her in your life, but maybe a shout out or two about her and your life story.
Well, yes, my beloved wife is Georgia. She sings Southern gospel and a great prayer warrior. She's been a blessing to me. We met in an unusual place. Mm-hmm. We met at a funeral home. I tell people things were dead till she walked in. And so we'll be celebrating 13 years here the 28th of October. And thank the Lord for her and so many people that God's put in my life.
You shared a joke with me off air, and I just thought it was really kind of a fun one. We have so many senior saints that I think delight tuning in because there's good Bible teaching and we have a variety of music, but we have some of those great old hymns and favorites, and we cherish our seniors. God has gifted them with knowledge and insight, life experiences to help mentor and tutor and help so many of us, and I hopefully will carry on some of the legacy that they've poured into me. But you had a fun little joke about being tried and true. Share that.
I'd heard about this couple. They were celebrating 40 years of their wedding anniversary, and it was summertime, and there was a full moon, and the fellow was sitting with his wife out on a swing out there in the summer, and he was just feeling pretty spry, and he looked over at his wife, and he said, "Honey, Our love is tried and true. She looked, and she was older, couldn't hear so well. She goes, "Hey, what'd you say?" So he said a little louder, "Honey, our love is tried and true." She said, "Eh? What?" Well, this time he yelled, "Our love is tried and true." She looked at him and said, "Well, I'm tired of you, too."
Oh, hopefully on a Tuesday, it's kind of jump-starting you into your day. A little humor with those biblical references on how important a cheerful heart or laughter is sweet to the spirit or something to the bones. And that they say scientifically, smiling and laughter relaxes so many facial muscles that actually it's easier to smile than to frown, or it takes less energy or effort. I don't know. It's a positive thing, so I hope you'll take that to heart. Share maybe a good story or a joke or a pleasant word with your neighbor, your friend, your family member, because they might be discouraged today. They might be wandering through life. These are tough times, and you might be that pat on the back, that encouraging word, that smile, that kind word to encourage them today. And you, Pastor Steve, have been encouraged by God throughout the years, but it's not been easy. So take us to the childhood time.
I believe that even before we come to the Lord, that He charts our course, our path. He knows who we are, where you're at. You may think that God's forgotten you, but no matter who's listening today, where you're at, what's going through, you may have just experienced a divorce, a heartbreak, maybe lost a father. God sees all those things. When I was small, I came from a broken home, which is not uncommon today. I know many people have experienced that. My parents had divorced when my brother and I think, were just babies. I have a recollection of my father deciding who the two boys were going to live. And more or less, I was parted out to my grandparents when I was real young. I went to live with my grandparent, who was a carpenter, and took me in until I was like 8 or 9 years old. My grandpa was my whole world. And then there come a point that I was taken there and went to live with an aunt and uncle because they were younger, more well off, able to probably raise a family. But in the process of being shuffled around, during that time, my father died of cancer. I watched my father, who couldn't raise me, and I ended up going to his funeral. During that time, my mother, because of some circumstances, wasn't able to raise me. So in the process of all those things taking place, my heart was broke. I felt rejected. I was searching and looking. Now, realize at the very same time, I was raised in church. I never, ever in my life missed a Sunday. I don't ever remember missing church. I got baptized, went through confirmation class, answered all the right questions, and so forth. I did all those things. I don't ever remember not believing in God. I had a head knowledge, but I tell people that I was sliding into hell from a church pew because even though I was religious, I was lost. And in the process of time, as I'm living with my aunt and uncle, I'm going along life in church. I had a nice home as far as clothes and money and provisions and things like that. But I did live with my aunt and uncle and my cousins, and I still felt like I was a fifth wheel. They weren't my mother and father. My father passed away. My mom couldn't raise me. My whole world that I worshiped was my grandpa. He was in another town because of his age. They thought it was better for me to not live with him. And so I just felt like I was a man without a country. And in my heart, I was felt like something was missing. I was searching, looking. I didn't know. And I felt like, does God even love me? Does he even know where I'm at? In the process of time, somebody knocked on my door, 1402 Hardin Avenue. And it's like it happened yesterday. I got on a bus. I went to Vacation Bible School. I heard the simple gospel for the first time that I was a sinner. And there was a penalty for my sin, which was death and hell. But Jesus went to the cross, and he died my death. He suffered my hell. He took my place. He loved me so much that he knew one day I was going to be born, and I needed a Savior. And if I would accept that payment, the blood of Jesus, and invite him in my heart and repent, I could be saved. I read that track over and over and over till finally, 1453 Southeast Street in Jacksonville, I got on my knees July 31st, 1976. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart to save me. And here I am. I was a teenager. Now I'm almost 62 years old, and I never have gotten over it. He gave me peace that passes all understanding. He gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. He took all my sins and cast them as far as the east as from the west. He made a change. No, I'm not perfect, and I've had my ups and downs, and I've had all kinds of problems, and I've had to grow as a Christian. But I want to tell you something. He's never left me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake me. And he said, I will be a father to the fatherless. I didn't have a father, but I got a father now. And I got a family because I've been adopted into the family of God. And he made a change from the inside out. See, religion tries to change you from the outside. Religion tries to dress you up. You know, kind of like if you took a pig and you gave the pig a bath and you put a ribbon on him, you got him all cleaned up for the county fair. But you give that pig the opportunity, where's that pig going? He's heading back out to the mud. Why? Because that's just nature. We're born with a sinful nature. That's why we have to be born again. And that's why religion is a cover-up. Religion, in many ways, is the drug of choice that Satan uses to deceive people into thinking they're okay when they're not. That's why so many people go to work on Monday morning with a long face. They go into church and they come out with a long face. Why? Because religion is an exterior. It's a facade. Mm. Jesus Christ is a person. Religion didn't die on the cross for you. Jesus did. And when he went to the cross, I didn't receive a religion. I received a person. I actually had to repent of trusting in religion, trusting in my dead works, trusting in all these other things, which is nothing but religious pride, which is an abomination to God. I had to repent of my dead works and put my faith in the work of Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. The only work that'll save you is the work on Calvary, the cross that Jesus did. And when I put my faith in him, that very day, July 31st, 1976, he gave me that peace. He gave me that assurance that he loved me. And that black book that a lot of people have sitting on their coffee table that didn't make any sense to me, all of a sudden it began to open up to me like an unfolding revelation. I couldn't get enough of it. And then I began to tell people that something took place in my life and there was changes took place. And then I began to realize that I've got a new Savior, a new Lord, a new Master, and now I want to serve and please him. The things I didn't want to do before, I wanted. The things I used to love, I hated, and the things I hated, now I love. He changed my heart and changed my desires. He did what I couldn't do. You see, you can't live the Christian life, and you can't save yourself. But when you surrender and turn yourself over to God, he will do what you can't. You may be listening today and say, I can't give up this addiction. I can't stop doing this or stop doing that. No, you can't. But he can. Hmm. The power of the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And if the Holy Ghost can raise up a dead man, the Holy Spirit can deliver you of any addiction, of any problem you've got right now. You may be listening to me right now with a broken heart. I know what a broken heart is. I know what it is to lose my father. I know what it is to be in a broken home. I know what it is to have someone you love pack up and leave you. I know what it is to have a broken heart and disappointment. I know what it is to get up in the middle of the night and walk up and down the floor crying and praying because your heart's been broken. But during those midnight hours, I felt the very hand of Jesus reach out and touch me. I'm going to tell you something. In the valley, you'll find Jesus. Somewhere standing in the shadows, you'll find him. And sometimes he allows a valley. Sometimes he allows a heartbreak. Sometimes he allows things to happen. Sometimes he allows the road to get pulled out from under your feet, that little perfect world that you live in, that you're so comfortable in. Sometimes he's going to shake things up. Why? Because he's wanting to remind you that, hey, I've been here all along. Would you call upon me? Would you let me show you what I can do? And he saved me, transformed me. He's still not done with me. He's still working on me. But you know what the wonderful thing is? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I just thank God. Here it's been probably 40-some years. You know, when I was a teenager, some of my relatives said, well, Stephen's on a kick. Well, guess what? 40 mm-hmm. years later, I'm still kicking. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, well, he's gone nuts. And I say, well, maybe I'm nuts, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord gets a hold of your heart and your life, you can't help but talk about it. And he can do something for you. I'm talking to people right now. You got religion, but do you really have salvation? Do you have a salvation that changes your life, that causes you to want to come to church on Sunday? I'm not talking about the first church of the frigid air, you know, it's cold it's dead. The only growth is the ivy on the side. The only sign and wonder is the sign out in front, and the wonder is anybody shows up. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's some Bible-preaching churches out there where the Holy Spirit's moving, and that's where you need to be. And if you've been saved, you've never been baptized, that's your first step. Get in your Bible, get in prayer. Become a soul winner. Tell other people about Jesus. He's given you spiritual gifts that you need to find out what they are and start doing something, because the next thing on God's prophecy calendar is the return of Jesus Christ. we're living in that terminal last day generation. And folks, if you're listening to me and you're not saved, today could be the wonderful day of your life that it was for me July 31st, 1976. And if you are saved and you're listening to me, there's some other Steves out there. There's some other people with broken hearts. There's some other teenagers that are searching. They've tried drugs. They've tried alcohol. They've tried immorality. Maybe they don't have parents, or maybe they have parents, but they're so busy chasing the almighty dollar, they don't have time for their children today. And people are hurting. People are searching. And friend, why are you keeping it a secret? You have the answer that they need, and that's Jesus Christ. I thank God for July 31st, 1976, when I traded in my religion. He lifted me up out of the pit of sin, the pit of death, the pit of religion. He lifted up my feet and put me on a solid rock. Jesus Christ is the solid rock. Everything else in this world's unstable. Banks have closed. Your 401k could go under. All kinds of things could shift and change in your life. Nothing's guaranteed out there. Somebody the other day said, I want a guarantee. There is no guarantees. The only guarantee you got is the promises in the Word of God. But He put me on the solid rock. And then after He did that, He put a song in my mouth. Folks, even in the valley, He can give you a song. Even in the heartbreak, He can give you a song in the night. Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is everything you need. Thank you for the opportunity to share my story.
Well, I'm thinking you referenced you were welcomed into the family of God, and that gave you a new identity. And there's some people that are lost right now. They don't have an identity. They don't see meaning and purpose in their lives. So how can they take those steps, that faith journey? How does it begin?
Well, the first thing you need to do is realize that you can't save yourself. If somebody's drowning and you throw them a life preserver, they've got to realize they need help and grab that preserver. And folks, a simple thing, if the Holy Spirit's drawing you right now and you realize that I've sinned, you'll never live up to God's perfect standards. People say, I try to keep the Ten Commandments, but you can't. The Ten Commandments was given to show us how sinful we are, because God goes beyond those commandments in the New Testament. The Old Testament says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The New Testament says, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after has committed adultery. The Old Testament says, thou shalt not murder. But Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. You will never measure up to God's perfect standards, because He sees right into your heart. So would you humble yourself today? The Bible says you can't enter into heaven unless you humble yourself as a little child. Would you be willing to humble yourself and say, I can't save myself and I'm a sinner and my religion can't save myself, but I'm going to fall at the mercy of Jesus Christ and what He did 2,000 years ago on that cross, and that precious blood that He shed for you, that was poured out for you, and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. But would you come in my heart? I accept what you did on the cross and your shed blood. Come in my heart right now and save me. And I'm trusting you, and you alone is my only hope for heaven. Thank you, Lord. Because Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, everlasting life. Everlasting's forever. And he will move in right now through the power of the Holy Spirit and save you today, right where you're at, if you'll ask Him. And if you've done that, would you please tell someone? Call the radio station, call a pastor. We want to pray with you and help you with your next steps in your journey.
There's also a number, maybe you made that decision now, or maybe you have some more questions about the Christian faith or how to have a relationship with Jesus. Who is God? You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call. These are trained counselors. They can pray with you. They can talk with you. You can certainly stop by and meet up with Pastor Steve Weiss. He serves at the Heritage Free Will Baptist Church here in Springfield. If you missed today or yesterday's broadcast, he was also on Monday, and he talked about that there is a reality to hell. And that's something that we don't want anyone to go to. We need to cry out that God will give us those divine appointments to share our faith, the good news message of Jesus, wherever we go, as we go, day and night. There are people that are lost that need that good news message. But listen to yesterday's broadcast. It is archived at greatnewsradio.org and at wluj.org, along with today's edition of Mark and Friends. But Pastor Steve, you opened up with a reading out of Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. And in our closing 3 or so minutes, why did you choose that of all the verses you could share? Because I know you have many verses you memorized.
Well, first of all, it said, He inclined to me and heard my cry. And I don't understand and comprehend that of all the millions and millions of people in the world that he could hear the cry of a discouraged, depressed, rejected little boy in a little town of Virginia, Illinois, in Jacksonville, but he did. And God is amazing. And you cry out to him, he will hear you. He will hear you because he loves you. You're the apple of his eye. You're the desire of his heart. He wants to hear from you. When it says he lifted me up out of a horrible pit, because that's where I felt I was. Depression, discouragement, spirit of suicide, the pit of religion. Religion is a treadmill that you can never do enough. You keep work, 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 and eventually you think you might have done enough, and you still don't have the assurance of where you're going to go someday. So I look at these verses, how he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of that pit in the miry clay. You get into a pit of clay, it's so wet and slick, you can't climb out. Someone's got to lift you out. And then he established my goings. So many people today don't know who they are, where they've been, or where they're going. When you come to the Lord, he gives you a path. He has a blueprint for your life. He gives you a direction. About a year after that, in a prayer meeting at the Grace United Methodist Church, I felt like God has something for me more. And he called me to preach. And he burdened my heart for souls and gave me the gift of an evangelist. And folks, I want to be faithful to what he's called me to do, but he's called you to something. He opens doors. He gives you divine appointments. And I want to be faithful and obedient to that. And then he said he put a song in my mouth. You know, the world doesn't have a song. And many times when the world does have a song, it's morbid, it's vulgar, or it's sad or depressing. But the song Jesus gives you is a song of joy, a song of praise, a song of hope. No matter what's going on around you, I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I know he's got a purpose and a plan. And I know that he's in control, although sometimes we can't see it. He's my Father. And I just want to thank the Lord for all his blessings.
And I love the closing few words. Many will see and fear and put their trust in God. And listening, friend, the fear is a reverence. It's not a fear afraid, you know, we're getting near Halloween where you're scared of him. God's approachable. He's caring. He's Abba. He's like a daddy. He's the perfect father. Yeah, he should be revered and he's awesome. But the fear is something that draws us to him. We're like, wow, we're awestruck because he's a great God. And you can put your trust in him today. Let me encourage you to call 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. Today may be the day of your salvation, where you secure eternity, where there's no more pain or suffering or heartache, where God will embrace you. He'll walk with you today. He'll encourage you. He'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. It'll give you discernment and insight. You'll read scriptures like never before because they'll be personal and they'll be living and active in your heart. God loves you and he cares for you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Well, Pastor Steve, thank you for being a part of today and yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends. I love how God made that divine appointment. You are part of our group going up to the Pacific Garden Mission, and I got to hear a little of your testimony. And then this past Saturday, you were at the Businessmen in Christ gathering, and I said, I got to get him on the air. And I see us continuing an ongoing relationship, and I love your passion for people, people coming to know the Lord, and equipping the saints to grow and faithfully serve him till the very end. So thank you for your gift sets and your passions.
You.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Steve Weiss with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.